Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Peter Maxwell Slattery Show. And today we've got Enya Briggs. How are you going, Enya?
Hi, Peter. I'm doing great here in New York. How are you?
Good, good. So you just got back from Sedona?
I did.
Yeah, how did that go?
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. It was one of the most peak experiences of my life. Everything they say about it is true and more, bad, good, and otherwise. But fortunately for me, it was almost 100% good. It just flowed. There really is something like a Sedona effect.
Yeah.
And it seemed that everything was in perfect timing. I didn't have to wait for anyone. I would put, for instance, when I was getting ready to leave, and I put my luggage out on the front yard by the driveway of the place I was staying at, the driver came right up to the door immediately, even though he was 5 minutes early, that sort of thing. I got to meet whoever I was supposed to meet at that time, and I got to have the conversations I was supposed to have with the right people that I was supposed to have with. I got to see the things I was supposed to see and experience the things I was supposed to experience, and it all sort of unfolded in this completely organized but totally organic fashion, and it was fantastic. And I definitely felt this energy field there that I don't know if other people who are sensitive experience, but I certainly did. And that vibration was love.
Yeah.
It's love energy, universal love energy. And the more you got close to certain mountains and hills and mesas and buttes, there were certain ones that were just power packed.
Yeah.
What can I say? I mean, some of them were just, it was earth energy, it was magnetism, it possibly had something to do with ETs, I don't know, but it was a magical, magical experience. I will never forget it as long as I live, and I can't wait to get back.
No, that's awesome. It's similar like that about an hour and a half away, we've got Mount Buffalo, and that's where the Aboriginals used to go and do sort of ancient ceremonies, but I can go to other mountains around here. We've got about three that, you know, they get snow on them in winter and that, but Mount Buffalo, when I go there, there's just this hardcore energy. And actually on my website, I've made like a 2-3 minute video with heaps of pictures that I took where you can actually see tops of pyramids made out of rocks, like these ancient structures that I don't think many people have picked up on here in Australia. But you take, like, if you look at the photos, you can see pure square boulders and cutouts in them, like as if tools done it. But I go there and I have a lot of fantastic meditation time and just re-energizing with the earth and grounding myself. It's really awesome, and I'd say that that's sort of similar to what you've experienced at Sedona. It's just nature's beauty and connecting with, you know, universe, basically. It's awesome. So,
absolutely. It has to do with ley line energy, and it has to do with something about the earth's electromagnetism that opens up certain parts of yourself energetically, much in the same way that, say, going to a Reiki practitioner or an acupuncturist perhaps would open you up. And if you're sensitive to that, you will feel it.
Yeah.
You absolutely will feel it. And it was just, there was parts of the earth that it's more heavily aligned than not. And Sedona and this place you're talking about, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Absolutely have that. It exists. So,
oh, definitely. Like, there was many areas the Aboriginals could have chose to do whatever, but they went there for... And you look at how the hell they got up there, it's like, I don't know how they did it, because it's a really, really rocky mountain compared to most. So they were there for a reason, and I can tell that when I go up there. Now, we spoke yesterday, and you wanted to go into past life, healing, basically embracing our own God self and reconnecting and taking the power back of what's going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where do you want to start with this? Because you've got a whole book of knowledge. You write into this, and this is what I'm into as well. So I'll let you just take it where we're going to go. So go wherever you want, and we'll get into that.
Thank you. Well, I was just saying, there's an interesting connection that I'm making with this. This information came to me a while ago, but it was really emphatic when I was in Sedona, in that it's really essential and imperative that people open up their third eyes right now and realize that everyone has this capability and that they can train themselves and learn more about life and universe and everything. if they just open up their third eye and they develop compassion and they use it responsibly and ethically. And if you open up your third eye responsibly and ethically and you take personal responsibility for yourself, for your words, thoughts, deeds, and actions 100%, then you'll be fine. If you don't, bad things will happen to you at this point in time, because what we're experiencing is a boomerang effect, basically.
Yep.
That which you put out, you get back, and it's going to bitch slap you, pardon my expression.
No, yeah, I know what you're saying.
That's what you can say, boomerang, because that's what karma is. We are manifesting karma faster and faster and faster, and we have to release it now. We have to get rid of that residual backup, that goo, that residual film that's developed over time. The excuse that you just don't know is no longer viable, because now you do know. The way the Earth's energy grid is right now, you can tap into that just like you would a faucet with water coming out.
Yeah.
And you can make that a reality just as easy as pie right now. It's not that hard to tap into your psychic self, your third eye, your higher self, whatever you want to call it. It's not demonic. It's no more demonic than someone using their other senses of taste, smell, you know, touch. Is your sense of taste demonic? I don't understand where that sensibility comes from.
It's basically what the Illuminati have put into really... If it doesn't fit in their box, which they've created going back a long way, and you're tapping into something else, it is... Because it's not their norm, which really this is our natural, it's what we naturally can do in whatever state, in whatever life, in whatever dimension, whatever. But because it's been manipulated that way going back thousands of years, that's why it's got that taint on it. But it's our natural ability to be able to do that, to be able to use the third eye, whether it's psychic abilities, whatever. It's what we all can do. And that's what I've been telling people, is that they come to me like as if I've got all the answers. And I've said it in the last two interviews as well, is that I don't know 0.0001% out of a 1,000% of what's going on, but what I can do, yous can all do, and that's why I've gone in the path now where those who are actually acquainted with this sort of thing, I've been taking it on initiating contact sessions where we do meditation and energy work, but like you say, you've got to be able to connect with, you know, good, beings in the service. And if you don't do things like how I've done at the start of the meditations and that, if you don't cleanse, invite the enlightened things and block out the negative things in the psychic bonds of whatever's got their own serving, you know, service sort of thing going on, you're going to get anything coming in. And that's where I've headed now, and we've had amazing experiences, and it's about people taking their power back, taking responsibility, rather than coming to us as if we're going to do everything for them. They've just got to take their power. It's a long process. It's not an overnight thing as well. And that's, people who come to me and they think after a few months, even a year, they're going to be like where I'm at or where you're, wherever. And it's not about where we're at. It's about making your own development and embracing and empowering yourself. And that's where what we're talking about today, I think, is going to be of benefit to people, rather than thinking everyone's got the answers. People can tap into what we can tap into.
Well, and you don't need to be talking to ETs to do it, although they do serve the benevolence. Yeah. They do serve to facilitate actions inside of you if you ask for it, if you sort of contract yourself out as someone who's going to step forward and be one of these, servants to God kind of mentality. You will have people teaching you. But it's a collaborative relationship if it's benevolent. It's not ordering you to do anything, but you asked, you know, whether subliminally or on a subconscious level or otherwise. I see tons of people who are awake who did not have such dramatic awakenings like you or I, that didn't directly involve UFOs, but rest assured, UFOs were probably behind it, because I do believe they're feeling, I wouldn't say they're, well, the term they're using is panic stricken is no more. Their goal right now is to get rid of the fear vibrational frequency in the, they're saying the tones of things.
Yeah.
The tones. And why I just posted a post on my blog, anyaisachannel.blogspot.com. You're welcome to check it out. It's probably .au where you guys are, but
I've got the links up. I've got the links up. Yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay, great. Because it's for the November 4th, 2013 post about military drills that have dramatically increased in the United States in 2013. It's a 24-minute video that just shows news footage and private citizens filming Humvee activity on the highways, in residential neighborhoods. An incredible buildup of things. Perhaps you saw in the news internationally that there were some Black Hawk choppers going through, I think it was Los Angeles. Or
well, didn't you have the LAX shooting now? And now security guards,
exactly.
Like, it's not the good that it happened, but it's like as if now, because that happened, now the security guards that didn't need guns are going to have more guns, therefore it implements more, you know.
Well, it's a trap. It's all a psychological operation.
Exactly, yeah.
And then, I don't believe that martial law is going to happen in this country or anywhere else that has a constitutional bylaw or a parliamentary system. I don't think that's going to happen.
It'd be like an Nazi agenda, wouldn't it? Like, it's just basically like,
well,
a Nazi
they're trying thing. To create fear. They're trying to spread fear in your mind that in the event of, in the United States at least, and it might have worldwide implications, the financial collapse causes worldwide disorder and disruption. But this is all by design.
Yeah, exactly.
And I read that in the blog post that Chicago is considered the murder capital of America right now. It's like, it is like effectively martial law where, it's like the Wild West right now in certain parts of the city, but that the Illuminati are heavy there. Chicago politics is notorious worldwide. It's never been exactly clean. And lo and behold, we have a Chicago politician in office as our president. He didn't get there by being honest. I'm sorry. I hate to burst anyone's bubbles at this point in the game that telling Barack Obama that he's actually honest and straightforward. He's not. He got through politicking and glad-handing the old-fashioned way through mafia. Basically, and the CIA, you could call it the CIA, because that's what they are. They're organized crime. They're the mafia. But my point is that people let it get to the point right now where it is so lawless in Chicago that they have to have lines of policemen guarding children just so they can get to school in those neighborhoods now. And it's a terrific waste of resources and a reallocation that didn't need to be because they let it get to that point. And it's the perfect excuse then, like with what David Icke talks about, problem, reaction, solution.
Exactly.
Now they have an excuse. They've let it get to the point where it's the murder capital of the United States where they can then enforce
implement
martial law.
Agenda
so realize
yeah.
It's co-creative things. So if we know how to control our emotions and control our reality, we don't need to let it get to Wild West type situations. We can control that. We can manifest. We're manifestors. We're creators. We can create chaos or we can create order, and it doesn't have to be order through chaos. It's once this point in our history, this quote-unquote financial collapse that is or is not imminent or whatever, worldwide or otherwise, that's sort of originating at several points on the globe. The United States is one of them, and will definitely have far-reaching implications for Australia and the Pacific, pretty much. Or the Pacific Rim, rather.
And we're seeing that now. We're actually seeing in the public here in Australia, people are seeing it. Like, just I said this yesterday to Rodwell and other people, that people who aren't into, you know, UFOs, whatever, which doesn't bother me, and they do know that this is part of my life, they don't bring up that, but they've been coming up to me bringing up how they can see, just the average Joe on the street can see what's going on. And we had Kevin Rudd, which he was in the Labor Party, which was Prime Minister, which, you know, parties have basically doesn't mean crap because they're all serving the same agenda. But we had Kevin Rudd, then he was kicked out. Julia Gillard went back in. Then she was kicked out. Kevin Rudd was brought back in. Now we go to Tony Abbott. And what this did, it was a good thing that we got to see how the backstabbing and how they said they were going to do this, they were going to do that, and nothing was ever done about it. Because once they got into power, they could say, well, geez, I'm not it. I thought I was it once I got into power, which is a good thing here. We're starting to see it, but what we don't see so much of is what you're going through in the States with what you're talking about, how they're implementing everything that you're going on about. We see little bits, but really, because they run the entertainment and media industry as well, the Illuminati, you know, the factions, it's all owned by the same people. That sort of stopped before it get here. So we don't see that much. And what you're saying is, I think a lot of people here in Australia that are going to listen to this and throughout the world that don't live in America or know much about what's going on there, they're going to find this interesting because you're there, you're in the thick of it all, and you look at this all the time from whatever area you could put into it, because the Illuminati situation is so, you know, like the pyramid, there's so many structure organizations within it that people just can't really grasp it unless they've delved into it a little bit.
Right. Well, it would behoove your listeners in Australia or anywhere else on the globe that isn't the United States or North America to pay attention to this, because from the standpoint of free will and opening your third eye and so much, the United States is the military arm of the trifecta that the sort of founders created for the world, that we've suddenly become the policemen of the world.
Team America.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it also talks about how there are international troops that are doing drills on American soil. So they probably are bringing in Australian troops,
I've actually heard that from a pretty good source that's talked to people directly about people going over there doing that type of thing from here.
It absolutely affects Australia. We have great relations with you internationally on a trade level as well. And
security, fine gap.
Absolutely. And, it's just, I feel it. Living here, I've lived in New York City well before 9/11. I've lived here for 20 years, and I feel it. I've seen it. There was a dramatic uptick in the police activity since 9/11, and now it's just the norm to have random bag checks. And when you go to the airport, the security is sort of, you know, we've reached a point where, and this is internationally, you have to take your shoes off, you have to do all these sorts of things. That's a direct reaction to 9/11. So anything militarily that can be said about the United States, I think everybody should pay attention to very closely, because, hey, as it happens there, so, you know, this is sort of the canary in a coal mine effect, because other countries still parrot what we do militarily, because we're the number one arms dealer in the world in that regard, or arms importer, rather, whether it's directly or indirectly, because the CIA is the number one... one of the biggest arms importers for Al-Qaeda.
They're drug lords, exactly. And got the ammo, they got the guns.
Exactly. So we can no longer afford to say that doesn't happen to me, that's somewhere else. We are a global community in that regard. The internet has made this world a lot smaller, and what the Illuminati didn't bank on, and I use that as a catch-all phrase, obviously there are factions within factions warring against each other, but I'm not here to split hairs. Yeah. I'm here to talk about the black cabal that hates humanity and doesn't want us to thrive and have our third eye open. That's the thing, the number one thing they're scared of is having psychic power, having a psychic awareness, having awareness of your past lives, having awareness of timelines, having awareness of quantum field technology and how to manipulate it. Yes, I just said that.
Yeah.
You can manipulate quantum fields
with
your third eye.
Yeah.
And you can change timelines. You can create peace instead of war by fixed intention, but also sending it out there through telepathy, which has been proven scientifically. It's real in repeated studies. I'm not making this up. I think it was Russian scientists, and then there were scientists all around the globe who had studied telepathy, and it does work. So that suggests to us that we are in a quantum field, and we are multidimensional, and time is non-local.
Oh,
time's
definitely
a construct.
And what I've got from my experiences is not just we're multidimensional in spirit form, but from what I got from my experiences is that we're a mixture of many races that are in light. It's sort of like they wanted to upgrade, having a being that could upgrade dimensions. But in doing that, humans are actually, when we're in the physical realm, we're multidimensional beings where we can access this, because some life forms, even though they've got the spirit and they can access this, in actual physical state, we can do what we can do in those states as well. And it's a matter of accessing that. Where you're talking about into accessing new timelines, I've seen where two timelines have come into one, and I saw that other things could be happening on the other one. And I didn't know, because when I wrote my book, Operation Starseed, and it was funny because when I met you, I had... everything in that book I hadn't told anyone. And you were bringing this up to me when we first met. And I was like, You definitely are what you say are, because nobody could know this stuff. But I saw exactly what you were talking about, and I didn't know when that book came out what was going to happen, because one wasn't so good, but the other one, you know, it was sweet for us, but it was sort of at limbo when it was revealed to me. It's like, this is the point where we can go this way or go this way. And from what I've seen is that things didn't happen that were supposed to happen. So I can see that we've shifted the timeline. Well, they've come together, but it's not one or the other. We're sort of in limbo at the moment, but it's up to us where this goes from here and to, you know, do something about it. Like I say to people in...
Well, Peter...
Yep, no, go on.
Peter, if I may, when I posted a prediction on my blog, I posted it with the hope that it would not come true. And that appears to have happened. That now in the news media there were stolen nuclear material, nuclear warheads, in the United States once again.
Yeah, yep.
And no one knew what happened to them. And that, surprisingly enough, the two generals who were in charge of these warheads both were fired, supposedly for personal reasons that had nothing to do with the stolen warheads, which is not true. In fact, they said one of them was fired for alcoholism. He doesn't touch alcohol. He wasn't off the wagon. He doesn't drink. So obviously something pretty big has been brewing. And subsequently, one of the other Air Force generals who was investigating the missing nukes has since died. I think 2 days ago he died in a house fire or some kind of car crash, which to me is not accidental.
Yeah, They know something.
And I had stated in this that I put it out there, and I would never, ever assume that this was me alone that did this, but I have the feeling that by simply mentioning this, and I did give it a heads up at least 4 months before Alex Jones started talking about this, that there would be a false flag nuclear dirty bomb attack on a coastal city in the United States near a large body of water, and one of the cities would be New York. There might be other cluster bombs in other cities.
I remember you doing that, actually. Yeah, I remember that blog post.
Yeah, this was exactly... I think this was the false flag that was halted.
Yeah.
That was in mind, because Lindsey Graham, the senator, said that, oh, well, the port of one of these cities in South Carolina would be a target, and New York, for a nuclear bomb, a stolen nuclear bomb for terrorism. Now, how would he get access to that information?
Yeah.
Now, I know I got it from non-local sources, but how would he? He's an insider, right? And he's talking about this 4 months after I've started talking about this. Now, in the post, I said, I'm posting this because I don't want it to happen. I want somebody behind the scenes who sees this, hopefully, praying to God, and who does something about it. And there were people in charge who knew about this, and it was stopped. I'm not saying they saw my blog post, but I'm saying by simply putting it out there in the field and acknowledging it and speaking of it and saying it, I believe that something changed in the timeline. And again, I don't personally say this was me who did this, but I'm saying, hey, it's an insurance policy. It never harms to do this in advance, just in case. If you are in psychic awareness and you want to say, I feel like this is happening, it's never been a better time in history to talk about it. Write it in a blog. Talk about your feelings, how things go. You might be surprised how prescient and psychic they actually are. If you feel like it's sort of even in a daydream kind of thing, chances are you are hooked into the quantum field and you're looking at possible timelines and possibilities and potentialities. And the idea is that you can adjust accordingly. It doesn't have to be just the sociopaths who think they have to control the game board who are in control of this. They have their third eyes open, but they took the left-hand path, and they don't want to participate in healing and helping the earth and helping people succeed and become fully realized new humans. Instead, they want to bastardize it and invert it and turn the concept of everlasting life, which is what we are, which is why I'm asking people to look into their past lives and understand the continuum of life as holy and sacred. What they do is they invert the concept of everlasting life and turn it to and pervert it to transhumanism and robotics and cybernetics and nanotech to be used against people's best high syndrome and vaccines.
Oh, it's all implemented to do just that. What you're saying is to keep us down, to keep us trapped, to keep us to be little soldiers for you know, just little sheep, just doing 5 days a week work.
They don't have a monopoly on reality creation. And the minute you open your third eye, you are fully participatory in that quantum field, and you get to decide how thoughts create reality. But there is no more time. There's no more luxury of time for people to sit on the fence and say, and be self-defeatist, quite frankly, to hate themselves more, to feed into the lies that you're lowly and you're a worm and you don't deserve to exist. That's no longer going to float. Because first of all, it's a lie. It's a cop-out. It abdicates you of personal responsibility, and you don't have to change anything if that's the case. But also, self-loathing is just kind of redundant in this day and age. It just doesn't serve really a purpose. Okay, we've done that. We've done the whole I hate myself and I want to die routine.
Yeah.
So many times over. And it manifests itself usually in suicide and war and conflict and stabbings and thievery and all these negative thing, hidden agenda things that promote vampirism and a food source for reptilians. So stop being, you know, their food source.
Yep.
Stop being their food source and just own your power. Step into your power and learn it responsibly and ethically, and you'll be all right. Things will be all right once you understand you are a manifester, you are a creator, and you do have that power. And then you know, with great power comes great responsibility. I keep saying that from the, you know, I guess it's Marvel Comics or Stan Lee or one of those guys.
But
it's true. We are superheroes. Each one of us is a superhero, literally. And we can make our reality, and we can do profoundly earth-changing things if we just focus our energies on priorities that matter rather than the ones that are superficial and don't.
Well, that's it. Like, I say to a lot of people that what they're worrying about is just shit. Like, if they died today, would anything of what they're worrying about, would it really matter? It's just people are worrying about crap, and if we want to do something about the reality we're in, we can't be doing stuff out here like our blogs and what we're doing now. It's a good thing because it brings about awareness, but if each of us individually worked on in here, and that would project and manifest outside into our reality, which is tapping into what you're talking about, we worked on us, and enough of us did it, this reality where we're going would come along a hell of a lot quicker if we just all did something about it.
Well, that's... Peter, that's not what the Illuminati wants.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's why it's the 5 days a week work, worry about your sport on the weekend, go and get pissed, go and do some gambling, and don't worry about what's going on. You'll be happy like that. And while you're doing that, give us your money.
Right, and that's like the Orwell quote from 1984 where he said about the proletariat who the controllers didn't even bother to pay attention to because they self-regulated themselves by just distracting themselves into things that they could avoid the misery of their life with, football, beer, and he says it wasn't hard to control them.
Yeah.
You know, you give them the superficial avoidance techniques, just whatever sensory thing you use to dull your senses and forget about things for a while.
Give it to them, though.
And it's a self-regulating vehicle. It's a self-regulating mechanism.
And like a lot of people say to me is, I can't believe that this could be going on. And I said, well, it's not like this just started 50, 10 years ago, 100 years ago, whatever. I said, this was planned. Back then, the Archonic going through the reptilians, going through down to the Illuminati, the people that run what's going on. This was planned going back thousands of years. They knew that at this time now in 2000, there would be high technology. Well, it's not really high technology compared to what is really available, but they knew that there would be iPods, there would be, you know, the computers and the television and social. They knew this was coming, and I've got to give it to them. They are smart because they planned it back then, but they're not that smart because star seeds have come in, and that's where...
Right.
You can't manipulate straight up, but what you got to do is either play a part in humanity. So that's where you get sort of the overshadowing whatever from the reptilian archonic side. And then on our side, you've got the star seeds that have come in, reincarnated down, and they're playing a part. That's why we, you know, what's going on is happening the way it is. So, and that's why I said I can't blame you thinking that way because, you know, the school education hasn't been around that long. And once the population got big enough, it's like what we'll do is create a place where kids go and we teach them bull crap in science, mathematics, whatever, 5 days a week. And then if they pass that test, with the bullcrap we teach them, they get to go on and go on to believe the lie. They're educated to believe the lie. And this is where all this is crumbling down. And I don't think we really need political government structure. I think as a world, we need organisation. Because, mm-hmm. you know, just organisation, like how we do it within our lives, if we had that as a society, and like with a high level of consciousness, a lot of this stuff will go. And like Albert Einstein said, is you can't solve a problem with the same level of consciousness that created it. Therefore, we've got to up the ante, and we've all got to do that.
Well, by organization, I think it's a self-regulatory organization, and that people are intelligent enough if they just listen to themselves instead of the peer pressure of paying attention to what everyone else thinks. And in some ways, this is a direct challenge from the benevolence to ask us to think for ourselves, to come out of our adolescence, primarily through the purpose of self-actualization and realization, and understand that we are powerful creators and not children anymore, that humanity has to grow up. And all of these attempts to dumb people down are failing, in my opinion. I know that there are plenty of people who still choose to be in dormancy, but and they drink fluoride in the water, and they...
We've got it here everywhere in Australia. We've got fluoride everywhere in our water, eh? Like, you can't get away from it.
First thing you have to do is get the fluoride out of your drinking water.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some forms of...
I ask?
I've seen some ways to do that.
Purchase fluoride removal kits, whatever you have to do, but you have to get that fluoride out of there, because I really do believe it does calcify the pineal gland.
It does, yeah.
Shuts down access to your psychic ability. And the minute I started taking fluoride out of my water, I mean, I was already off the charts after my awakening, but I was drinking filtered water, but I wasn't drinking non-fluoridated water. I bought a fluoride filter for my drinking water, and as soon as I did that, I started predicting world events.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, or shortly right around that point in time, and I could feel a difference. I did notice a difference. I mean, it really did enhance my ability about fivefold. So, yeah, it does dumb you down. It's not just told that it does cause learning problems, developmental learning issues in people, but that it also shuts you down psychically. I can attest to that.
And I don't know if you have got it in the States at the moment, but I saw something here not too long ago where in the next year, I think, they're going to try and put aspartame in our milk.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think the public outcry is going to be so strong that it won't occur.
There's not that much education here on it, but in Australia. It's like...
Right.
Yeah. That's where it's frustrating.
But here's the thing that people... This is what I mean by unthinking. And the success to some degree, I say minor success, because I think ultimately this isn't going to work. It's going to be the same way that people reacted when they used to put asbestos in, you know, linoleum tiles in the 1930s or whatever, and everyone thought it was so great. And they used to put radium in those, you know, when you're a kid and you used to get your shoes fitted at the shoe store, you would find the right size of your shoes. Well, they used to light that up with radium, and they caused untold generations of people to have cancer later in life, and they probably pinpointed it to those toys that they used in the toy store because they were made with radium. And you're putting your bare feet on this thing to measure your shoes. That's enough to give you cancer for at least from your mid-40s on. So people are growing up in that regard. Why would you want to put extra chemicals in your milk? Like, I grew up in the 70s. I remember when no one really questioned this at all, that they just thought, well, just as long as you don't have toxic chemicals in the water, then everything is fine. And people would just leave it at that. And I feel like now people are gradually starting to question, why would I need added chemicals in my milk? Why would I need, and again, you know, there's the argument, why would you even need milk at all? But personally, I'm of the belief that I think that there are health benefits if you have raw milk that is untreated with anything, and it's organic and grass-fed. It is good for you, and it does serve a diet, a nutritional purpose. But anyway, I digress. People have to, they're starting to connect the dots. It's surprising to me because it's some people that I never would have thought would have connected the dots. I'm talking suburban housewives I went to high school with, and who are very caring, very sensitive people, but that just wasn't on their wavelength. And now I see them questioning their reality. partially just because we're Facebook friends and they like my posts and things that shock me that I never would have thought these people, no offense to them, I'm not trying to, it's just they weren't conversations we ever had 25 years ago. And now those conversations are right there on Facebook for everyone to talk about. And people can say, oh, the NSA, this is why I say you can use the tools of technology against the surveillance state by creating a dialogue that actually subverts the paradigm and makes it
I've been talking about that with other star seeds.
People spying on you question it, because I don't believe that the people spying on us actually believe in what they're doing either.
No, and I
actually believe that the people...
I think there's good guys in there too.
I don't think the people in the intelligence agencies who are spying on, and I know they're doing it to you, doing whatever international agencies or national agencies are spying on either of us, and that should come as any big surprise right now. Anyone you have on your show is probably on a list somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe that those people actually believe the protocol and believe what's being told about us. Because granted, they are being told that we're insurgents and we're terrorists, believe it or not. We are absolutely on some kind of list where people are saying that we are insurgents, that we are provocateurs. And I believe that there's a seed of doubt that's planted simply by just continuing what little freedom of speech we have left in America. And I don't know if you have freedom of speech laws in Australia, but I would hope you use them to the fullest extent of the law whenever and wherever possible, as long as possible.
We do.
Because
people are starting
you
to
are
kick up a sting. People kick up a sting
good.
About that.
Because when you do that, that's why I don't believe in avoiding social media, because they already know everything about you anyway. So you might as well subvert that surveillance aspect of something like Facebook, where the NSA absolutely is monitoring it for everyone internationally, to subvert that and to try and appeal to the people that are being paid to spy on you, in the sense of speaking your authentic truth and appealing to the fact that they probably have children, they've probably been sold a line of goods, and I think they're seeing that it's patently transparent right now as well. And you'd have to be a socialist to not have a pang of guilt if you are in fact spying on another citizen, whether privately or overtly at this point. I don't believe that, because they're all sold the same line. You're doing this for national security. You're the good guy, and that person you're being given a file on is the bad guy. That's what they're all told. It's all propaganda. And they're all brainwashed into thinking that they're justified their existence by doing this
doing what they're doing.
Anti-human, exactly. So to speak to them directly, to appeal to them directly, because I know they have a conscience. You can't be stupid working for the NSA. You can't be stupid working for what I assume Australia's surveillance intelligence agency is.
Well, it's basically your system. It's American technology in the middle of the pine gap with just a couple of all these, with a heap of Americans running it. It's the same.
So thing. I say don't hide from any of it. Don't hide from the symbols that the Illuminati inverts. That's why I'm wearing this, because everyone's going to call me a Satanist if I wear this. But I'm not. It actually means everlasting life. It doesn't mean transhumanist agenda. It doesn't mean a inversion of everlasting life. It was always a holy and spiritual thing when I'm wearing the flying scarab. But now it, of course, has implications because everyone's aware of these types of things, and they... And I'm in this phase right now where I'm taking back the power of the symbols as well, and shoving it back in the Illuminati's face is one way to have it lose that power of duality constructs, which they're so fond of. The black and white checkered floors, for instance. I have no desire to install a black and white checkered floor in my home, but I'm just saying, once you become aware of a symbol's power and what its intention is, they've inverted all of it.
What
they've
was it originally? And there's not... What you're doing is good, because you're using it for what it originally was for. And it's like he was saying before we started recording about the swastika. And I knew that. And they've done it with so many things where, like you said, that just can't be worn anymore because of what's happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a successful example of them controlling reality.
Yeah.
Because initially it was, I believe, a Native American symbol of everlasting life. And their obsession with it is something that they just want to control every aspect of our reality, starting with consciousness. And so if you understand the power of symbols, you understand how to work subversively with them so that they invert back the inversions to its original settings. And they're terrified of that. They're terrified of me talking about that kind of thing and having a dialogue with you about this.
Yep.
And that we're open and out about it. And I would invite anyone who's listening to this interview to make their own blogs and make their own YouTube videos and have as much of a dinner time dialogue across the dinner table with as many people as possible about this kind of thing, and to learn about symbols and absolutely look at websites like Vigilant Citizen and the aspect of mind control and how they have taken what the ancients Gnostic knowledge was, which was basically information that the negative Anunnaki gave them and passed down to sort of be the middle managers of mind control. Humans who were in the priest class were the middle managers of mind control, and other groups, and the druids and so forth, who were taught by reptiles. They were taught by negative ETs who fed on human energy.
It's what people don't want to hear, but, and you're hitting on a really good point, is that I've talked about mind control with people, and I know I've talked to you about a couple of experiences where it's been military abduction, whatever. But once you get into this and you delve into it and do a bit of research, MK Ultra, whatever you want to go into, you can see that this is being put into – there's mass hypnosis going on now with the public, and it's been going on for a very long time, whether it's whatever's been implemented or on TV, but people just can't believe it. And it's the same with the super soldier stuff. It's after seeing what I've seen, I know that this is going on. Because I've been,
and you also know that black magicians exist within that.
Oh, we know that. Yeah, we know that now. Like, yeah, and this is the stuff that
infiltrators.
People are okay with little ET, you know, or they're okay with reptilians. But once you go into those last two subjects, mind control and super soldiers, it's not even a big leap, but it's like too surreal. But it's like, if you know what I've seen with the ETs, the interdimensional aspect of how we were talking earlier about how they can project holographic images in front of you. Like, this is the stuff that Rodwell was saying, the stuff that we've seen would be better than any science fiction show you could write. And it's real. Like, what we're going through is real.
Right. And actually, what the secret military has, or the breakaway civilization has, is at least 50 years ahead of what we have now. And people just need to understand that we are not living in an analog world anymore. We can't afford to think in an analog fashion. And we have to understand how, at the same time, we are all we need. And we have everything we need. And even with all of that arsenal at the dark side's disposal, it still can't compete with the human soul. And the human mind is the start of the connection of the mind-body-soul connection. And they wrested control of the mind control of the masses, but now people are taking their power back by understanding how their protocol is, how their master plan works, and subverting the paradigm by throwing a wrench in it. And it throws everything off, because what people don't understand is they have nothing to be scared of but fear itself, really. And even that is a construct. So 90%
it's an illusion.
Of your fears are off. It's imaginary. So that's the only card the Illuminati really had at their disposal, was just trying to control the game board. And now the game board, there are so many wrenches, so many spanners thrown in the machine right now, and they have so many mechanics trying to fix it that they are completely backlogged. That's what people don't understand. So, of course, all they can do is pull out increasing images of Humvees driving on American highways and displays military prowess, but that's all they are, is displays.
Yeah,
they have the warfare, they have the armaments at their disposal, but the will is not there with the armed forces. And I don't even believe that the international forces that are coming in, I think most of them are starting to question their reality too. And in fact, I am kind of remote influencing some of them, because there are so many foreign troops that come in on American soil to train right now. And you can remote influence people too, but you have to learn how to do it ethically. I'm not telling people to, you know.
I know what you're saying. It's got to be for a good thing. Anything that's negative, it's going to come. Like I've said to other psychics too, is if they've done something for self-service, it can come back and.
But see, remote influencing is a form of telepathy.
Mm.
It's in the quantum field, And it's just like a conversation you have with someone. I'm not changing people's minds. I'm simply showing them options, and they get to decide whether or not those options are real.
Well, it's like what AT does to us.
Exactly. If they're unexamined options, and they never thought about the other aspect of, well, what do you think about coming in as a foreign troop training on American soil? What do you think of that? Some of them have never, it's never occurred to them before that this could even be a martial law kind of build up a scenario or a demonstration for theatrical purposes to just keep everyone down.
I think it's some type of foreign exchange type thing. You know
exactly.
What I mean? Yeah.
If you're doing it ethically, if you remote influence someone ethically, it's only and ever with their permission, believe it or not. And it only and ever comes if they decide not to do something based on having that remote conversation that they're not even maybe consciously aware of. They will make that decision themselves because I believe inherently that people are smart, believe it or not. And in higher self, everyone is intelligent. Everyone's smart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I'm talking to them in higher self because I know sometimes it's just like speaking to a brick wall if you're talking to them in 3D. So you have to arrange for a sort of quantum field arrangement to have a conversation rather than
a directly
one.
To the source that way too, the all-knowing part
exactly.
of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cut through the middleman. Cut through the middleman. You don't need it. And people will change their minds just lawfully as long as there's no firewalls involved or mind control programming that's layered so deeply, like with super soldiers, who don't want to have a thing to do with that, with their core personality, but they've been so reprogrammed and deep and reprogrammed and reprogrammed, and you know their original settings are somewhat muddled. It's like some of them you can't really help. Although I do feel like even the ones you can't really help are being helped at this time. Believe it or not. And if their programming is breaking down, it's for a very good reason.
Yeah. Nah,
and nobody's going to, not many, they might be reprogrammed. I don't know. They might, but it's a choice. Ultimately, it's a choice. It's like a choice to be an addict.
Oh, it is. And like what you're saying at the moment, people have got to wipe the karma of whether this life, past lives. And what I remember, I just want to tell you something trippy that I've put, it happened later. And I don't think I told you about this, but when we last spoke, or one of the last times we spoke, you said that my eye shape shifted blue. And what's weird...
Oh, yeah.
And what's weird is that I told Rodwell about this. And she said, oh, she's heard somewhere that your spirit's meant to be split up. Now, what's funny is I hadn't told anyone, and it was in my book, and I wrote about this a long time ago, was that I've seen the other me, which is still alive. It's like as if it split its spirit up to reincarnate down. So there's it confirmed what she said. Do you know what I mean? That's the point. But I wouldn't have worked that out unless you saw that. Do you know what I mean? So you saw that the eye shape shifted. I told Mary. Mary tells me that, and it confirms something that I've known for a while, which is, and I don't go into that much, saying that there's two of me, you know.
It was like a blue cast. It almost looked like there was a blue cast. Like, what are your eyes normally, brown?
I know they're blue, but you said they went, like, fully blue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the specific conversation, but we were in a Skype session.
Yeah, it was a while ago, yeah.
Yeah, a blue cast. Well, I took a photo of myself at the Met Museum, and I only slightly adjusted the contrast when I published the image, and my eyes turned blue. My eyes are brown.
Yeah.
And they turned blue. They turned blue, like cornflower blue in the image. And I don't know how that happened. And then my friend Sean said once that there's something that happens when you're awakened, that you get a blue cast. And actually, there's a mention of this in Dune, the book, where everyone has this sort of blue cast when they take the spice, this thing that enhances psychic vision.
Yeah.
And actually what happens is in the book, in the movie, the depiction is that your eyes turn this sort of intense cobalt blue.
Trippy.
The whole viscera, everything turns blue. So I don't know what that is. But and then it's also interesting that the third eye in chakra alignment corresponds with the color blue. If you look at each chakra energy point on the body,
I'll do that. Yeah.
It's sort of like the Kelvin heat system corresponds with a wave of color. Right at the third eye is blue. That's the color that's associated with the third eye. So I thought that was very interesting. So I don't know what's going on here, but somebody's ringing my doorbell, but I don't know. I'm not supposed to get a package, but people ring the doorbells in my building all the time. Sorry. So I'm not going to answer that. But So, I don't know. I think that's real. I think what happened to you is real.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just trippy that there's no such thing as a coincidence, but it happens to me all the time. Like, oh, like that's just an example. I talk to you, talk to Mary, and then it confirms something from, you know, ages ago.
And I guarantee to you I did not read it in a book. I swear to God.
I know,
that's
what I mean. Like, I wrote about that, but it's like you'd have to have gone through my whole stuff to get to that point because – and you couldn't – nobody could just do that, you know. It's just – but it's just trippy for me because the amount of times that type of thing happens is just, you know, it's cool because you're like, you know, that's how the universe works. If you got to know something, you got to learn something, you'll come across it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like validation when that type of thing.
Well, in terms of manifestation, you want to learn about something. You don't know what you don't know, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So my suggestion would be to anyone who wants to open up their third eye really quickly is first to write down on a piece of paper or many pages of a notebook and physically write it out. There's something about the physical writing of the question or the query that makes it easier to access the Earth's information grid and the etheric plane and so forth. Just write down your questions about life and preferably about an hour or two before you go to bed and then sleep on it. And then write in a diary the next day what your thoughts were in your dreamscape. And that's a good way to access your third eye initially. And then you might want to slowly incorporate a program of meditation. If you can only get to 30 seconds of pure white light, that's really doing something without having thoughts enter into the stream. If you can only do 5 seconds of pure white light energy in the meditation stream, that's fine. But eventually work yourself up to 20 minutes a day of just
incorporate with
no thoughts, no detritus. You will open up your third eye very quickly that way if you do that for at least 2 or 3 months a day, 2 or 3 months for about five or 10 minutes a day can really enhance that. Stop drinking fluoridated water immediately. Buy a fluoride removal system, or I guess it's you get ionized water or something.
So many different types of things out there to do it, but there's a lot of different...
It's relatively inexpensive for what it is. There's many products on the market that can help you with that. Try to get enough sleep. Try to eat right. I found initially for my awakening process, a vegetarian diet initially helped, but later on I slowly introduced a little chicken.
Yeah,
that's really what I
recommend. Chicken and just salads and nice stuff.
But organic, whatever possible. And... or if not, at least non-GMO, and trying to get some exercise, but make it exercise that integrates the mind-body-spirit connection. If you feel at one with nature, would go hiking. If you feel that yoga can help you, try and do that. We're talking about exercise for the third eye, of course.
No, but you
do any kind
on.
Of exercise you like,
and I recommend that. But I think with everyone, because especially when I teach meditation, is what I'm telling people is it's not like you're going to do meditation with me. You're not going to be a bloody guru. You're your own, you know, you've got to be your own god, but you've got to do exercise, eat well, and have a balance of everything that's going on in your life. Try to have a balance so not one thing is overtaking, you know, and making you feel down. And what you said about the exercise is one thing that people never think about. And what you said is just find something that you love that's incorporating mind, body, spirit. I think that's a fantastic thing because it's not going to make it dull and boring either.
Keep playing your Sunday football, whatever, but this is the training program for opening your third eye, because obviously it occurred to me, you know, it's not enough to just say, open your third eye, everyone. I mean, I have to give some tips, so that's just what I'm doing. It just occurred to me to just But what we're saying is pretty basic, right? What we're saying is not like so out there and crazy. I mean, these are things that people independently have been doing, maybe one or two of these things, but combined, you have to understand how the holistic lifestyle, how one thing is connected to another, how we're all interconnected. That's not a New World Order philosophy. Again, that's a bastardization of all is one. Is the New World Order as one world government is an inversion of all is one, which means that you are, again, the spiritual meaning of, yes, you are all a part of God. You are not a God, but you are part of the Godhead. You are a manifestation of God.
We're all
a
cell of God's body. We are God.
And of course, they take that basic core information and just like Jordan Maxwell was talking about how the all-seeing eye is actually initially from Jesus. And I think the cult of Mary, potentially, and that it had no Illuminati connection whatsoever, and that it was a benevolent image. Again, another image that the Illuminati has stolen for themselves to reinvent. Yep. So we have to take that back. We have to stop giving them so much damn power. They love it. They love that we're in fear of these symbols and that we get triggered by them. So opening your third eye is also a great way to deprogram yourself from any mind control programs that you have that subconsciously are running, whether it's from watching hours of advertising as a kid and thinking that your body isn't perfect enough because advertising is designed to make you insecure, or it doesn't have to be something as dramatic as I was in a mind control program and used for remote viewing purposes with a gun pointed at my head, which is basically what kind of happened. Just because you aren't having that dramatic an experience doesn't mean that you haven't been mind controlled yourself.
I have been. I know.
We all have to deprogram ourselves, great and small. We all have to deprogram. That's the second thing that they're terrified. I just felt a wave of panic. A wave of panic in the dark energy just went through me. Like, they just were so scared when I said that. Take the symbols back. Take the power back.
Now, you're right. I think I had a little bit of help from upstairs with deprogramming, but I think it was mainly me that because I noticed it about a day or two later after each time it happens, I noticed something's not right. Whether when we first got in contact, I had very similar experiences in the house to another friend of yours where I had basically shadow man it was dark stuff. And as soon as, I realized exactly what was going on, because I'd been exposed to the reptilians because I've had interactions, but I hadn't been exposed to the darker force. And then once I realized it was really up to me, I had some help with the clearing and cleansing and that, but it was really, this is your battle, which we've got to let you do this. And there was a couple of tips and tools, but it's really up to us because people just don't think this is going on, and it is real.
This is a good point to bring up as well, Peter, because when people open up their third eye, occasionally something really scary initially can happen because it's the unknown and they've never experienced that before. Please understand that if you do experience a psychic attack of some kind, it is God's way of showing you have to learn about psychic protection and that specific type of psychic protection. And if you don't experience the initial attack, you never know what that feels like. You never experience that. Therefore, you never know. And you are remaining in ignorance, and then you therefore are allowed to be vulnerable to someone mind controlling you.
Yeah.
So I am grateful for every single psychic attack I've ever had as well, because it made me stronger. I've learned how to combat it now by trial and error. Just understand there's light in the darkness. If you just understand that if you are being attacked psychically, and you'll know it, you'll know it. And that includes psychotronic weaponry that's very 3D. That people could point at your head
definitely.
If you're targeted.
And I think people have to realize
you can fight that too. You can change your biochemistry and you can actually change your electromagnetic composition so that the weaponry will in effect become ineffective. Like I said, you have superpowers you don't even know about, and people just disregard it left and right. They leave so much on the table. They're leaving stacks and stacks of gold on the table, and they just leave it there because they think it's impossible that they can't do this, and they remain vulnerable as a result. They're basically leaving their front door open for attack by doing that.
Well,
so
the other thing is, too, just going into how you're talking about tips and sort of stuff people can do, one thing I've noticed is that when I've meditated with people, I get them into a state where they have to stop because they're freaking out. Not because it's bad, but they're too blissed out because they've never experienced energy, the form of energy we talk about. And the biggest tip I have to them, because I warn them, but they just blow it off until it happens. And a lot of people can say who's done it with me is that they
That's
felt like
human
they were
nature.
On 100 ecstasy tablets, or they're on a heap of this because they see you buzzing. But like I say to people is, imagine if you're an alcoholic or a drug addict, which isn't a good example really, but like how you could ride those drugs. You've got to ride this energy till you become friends with it, get acquainted with the real you, because once you can access that, it goes, as you know, in all directions of what you can, information you can access, experiences you can have. And that's just one thing I wanted to let stay was that, don't freak out when you start doing that type of thing from the energy, because that's really the coolest thing about it, like getting into it, is, you know, getting acquainted with that energy that I think it just freaks people out, because it's something you can't see, but they can feel it, and they can feel the vibrating, and they start rocking, and the energy beams are all swirling, but they don't realize this, and because a lot of them, with their first time, they freak out. But I reckon the tips that you gave are perfect, and I just wanted to add that in, because a lot of people do say to me, one mate, he hasn't done it since, because he just said that was just too tripped out, man. He said the energy was just, I didn't expect that. He said it wasn't bad, but it lets them know that this is real, you know.
It exists, yeah. Well, you can't be frightened by that kind of thing, because it's self-created. You wanted to peer into that aspect of that reality, and you saw it, and it was foreign to you, because by and large, you've been programmed by the media and your family and friends and everyone, your educators, that what you just did was impossible.
Yeah.
And so the disconnect and the, what do you call it, the feeling of dissociation and the creepy sort of vertigo feeling you might feel from that comes from the fact that it's not, in fact, fake, it's real. And that shock of the new is so great that oftentimes it does turn people off, literally, that they don't want to use it ever again because they think it's, quote, overwhelming or bad.
Yeah.
But what people need to realize is that if you, it's just like exercise. If you build it like a muscle, it won't be so foreign to you anymore. You'll be able to lift heavy objects much easier rather than being a 98-pound weakling, shall we say. People have to get over that discomfort of the new and the unknown. And really, it is the shock of the new that they, when I think what's more shocking to people who start doing this and they get the blissed out feeling, and then suddenly they have, for instance, their first attack, or they have their first paranormal experience after this happens, they think that it's bad, quote unquote. And simply because it doesn't make any sense to them or it's frightening to them doesn't mean that it's bad automatically.
Exactly.
But yeah. I feel like I've sort of tapped out that subject. I just felt like I needed to talk with you about that a little bit, and to sort of offer people that there is hope, that they shouldn't get downtrodden about any of these events in the media or the news, whatever, however they spin it, however the economy goes, whatever the military does in any country or any zone of the world, you're all protected if you just understand that this all comes from everyone as much as it comes from ourselves individually. And thoughts create reality, and you really do control your emotions through your thoughts first. And don't let anyone else control that for you. Take your power back.
That's
really all I had to say.
No, that's it. And that's what needs to be, you know, that's where I'm going with what I'm doing. You know, waking up people, healing of the earth. We've got to just do that. And whatever way we can do that and get that out, you know, is great. And that's what we're doing right now. So I really want to say thanks for doing this too, because you've got valuable information that is of benefit to all, and I just wanted to be another platform to get that out. It's just, it's got to be out there, this type of thing, and the more people that can do this type of thing and get it out there, the better. So, you know, it's all of us just pulling our weight, and you're doing that more than most. So, you got anything coming up at the moment, like any other things going on?
Well, first of all, I don't know if I'm pulling my weight more than most. Many people, I'm sure, wouldn't see it that way, but I thank you very
much. You're saying stuff that people don't want to hear. That's doing a big thing, and it takes a lot of guts
really
to do that.
Fun sometimes.
Yeah.
It's really fun sometimes to be the kid who says the emperor is not wearing any clothes. Let me tell you, there's limited returns on that when you do that, but it feels good to me, and I can sleep at night, and I can look at myself in the mirror and be okay with that, you know, because yeah. I'm speaking the truth. I'm speaking authenticity. I'm not in groupthink. I'm not doing mindless, you know, sort of glad handing. If I don't like somebody, I'm not going to do an interview. And I've really shut down a lot of media offers and requests. I've had lots of really crass mainstream media contact me to do shows with them, paid gigs. I've turned them down because it's just so in the darkness. And it's so designed to make fun of psychic ability. And it's a hit piece that's designed to make us look like fools and imbeciles or egomaniacs or some, I don't know, just however they want to frame you, they're going to frame you. Mostly they want to make me look like the village idiot.
Oh, no, it's happened to me here in Australia. So, yeah.
Right. So I'm just avoiding that, like, the plague right now, and just doing what feels right authentically. And it just was sort of spontaneous that I felt that it was really important to speak with you.
Yep.
Because you're the real deal. So people should pay attention to you, Peter Maxwell Slattery. So I'm happy to do this if it helps anyone's education and the format by which they want to sort of circumnavigate this somewhat a little bit better. Just don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Everything's going to be fine, because when you turn that light on in your mind, you can't turn it out again. You can't turn off an idea.
Weird.
You can't, like, once you learn something, it's kind of hard to unlearn it. And everyone's going to be fine. Just take it easy. Don't panic. Put one foot in front of the other and take deep breaths and learn how to meditate. And by doing that alone, you lower your blood rate or your blood pressure, which is great. And you also, you open up timelines of possibility and potentiality that were not there before, because you simply closed them down because you thought they weren't possible. And I'm here to tell you, yes, even more so, not only are they possible and probable, they're likely to happen even faster the more you accept and integrate that reality into your existence.
No, that's fantastic, and you're spot on with that. And it will trip them out once they see the fruits of that, because I know what happens to me. It takes a little while to go, you know, this is so cool, but it happens. Well,
it's all right. It's going to be all right.
Yeah.
You're fine. You're safe. God doesn't hand you anything more than you're already ready for, and that you've contracted for, and that you've agreed to. And you can change that agreement as you see fit. If you feel it's too much, you can always take a step back and say, I break that contract. I don't need it anymore. I want to switch paths. I want to go onto a different train track and do this instead for a while. And that's fine. God loves you. The universe is kind and loving. It's just we who have constructed humanity in such a way to be cruel and unusual.
Yeah.
We don't have to be that. We can be who we are authentically, which is love. We are built in love. We're not built in hate. It's easier to love than to hate. It really is. It takes
is.
So much energy to hate.
Like smiling. It's better to smile than to frown.
It's just easier.
Yeah.
It's easier and it feels good. So that's my opinion.
Well,
but thank you so much. Peter, I
you're
appreciate
right.
it.
Thank you for being on, and thank you to everyone for listening. And we'll actually have this up on YouTube. Either Annual or myself will be putting this up, which is the first episode, you know, video recorded as well. So that's pretty cool. So any questions or comments, just go to petermaxwellslattery.com. And cheers, Annie, again. Thank you.
Thanks, Peter. Take care.
Cheers.